welcome back to another edition of A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett. And it's hard to believe we have been doing this program for 3.5 years, almost 4 years. You know, every month we get to welcome another guest, a friend from community who's doing some really great things around collaboration, around corporate social responsibility, volunteerism. And joining us in the studio tonight is Marta Bolis-Gibran. Welcome, Marta.
Thank you, Laurie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I can't believe you haven't been here yet, but we are thrilled that you're here. I mean, you could be hosting this show. You have worked, Marta, in corporate, government, nonprofit, and now you are the Director of Government Relations and Community Affairs at Crayola, which is so exciting. Tell us about that role.
The role is wonderful because I get to share the story of Crayola with the community, both on a national level with the government affairs work that we're doing and on the local level, of course. On the local level, we're very active, as you know, as Air Products employees, our Crayola employees are out and about everything. Mm-hmm. We give many, many hours of volunteerism to the community. We also provide a lot of financial support to nonprofits in the community, which are sorely needed. And we have the distinct pleasure of providing Crayola products, so donate Crayola products to nonprofits in the Lehigh Valley. And we're really thrilled to be able to do that to help so many nonprofits help our community.
What a treasure it is for us to have Crayola here in this community.
Thank you. Crayola is just, it's a magical brand, as you know. It's one of the most recognized brands in the world. There's hardly a child that has not experienced the joy of holding a crayon in his or her hand. And what's really neat, Laurie, is that now we've kind of even moving beyond children using art materials, crayons and markers, to adults. Adults have discovered the joy of coloring and that ability to express themselves and be creative using a crayon or a marker or a colored pencil. So the brand and the company and the audience has evolved tremendously, and it's really exciting to be part of that.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about the culture at Crayola and how, I mean, there is such joy in what you do in your business, but also in the employees that I see that are out giving back to community?
Well, yeah, I mean, so one of our core beliefs is to foster a giving spirit. So that means giving your time, giving your money for like our United Way campaign. We have a major United Way campaign that takes place, and our employees participate in a very significant way. So that belief is part of Crayola's DNA, is to give back to the community, to be part of the community. And I think we're so proud of what we make. I mean, just like one small example, I got my little 2-year-old great niece. I went over to visit her and I took over some crayons, the large crayons and a couple of coloring books. And she was on her iPad and she was eating at the same time, but she took the crayons out and the coloring book. She dropped the iPad, set aside her food, and she said, "Color! Mommy, I want to color!" And she just sat down on the floor, started coloring. She totally ignored everything else. And so for me, that was a moment that just kind of really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about making children happy. It's all about making people happy. That's what we do.
To be in the role that you are, at the company that you are, what does that mean to you?
It's a responsibility that I take very seriously, because, you know, you always have the option to do nothing. But again, it goes counter to what Crayola is and who we are. And me personally, I've always been a huge proponent of giving back to the community, being part of the community. I came to this country as a child. So as an immigrant, in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to give something back to a country that has given me and my family so much. And so any way that I can do that, whether it's at Crayola, especially now at Crayola, but in, you know, previous work, working for the government or working for the chamber, every role I've had or Air Products, it was about how can I make this community better, whether it's through me personally, which I do, but also through encouraging involvement in the community with our employees, with my friends, with family. So I think we all have that responsibility, and it's a very serious responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And you've been able to really show that through your career.
I like to think so. I mean, again, it's something that I value personally, and the opportunity for my personal values and my professional values to merge is really priceless. Yep. So that's what's so exciting about this company, this brand, this Crayola brand, is that it's everything I believe in personally as well as professionally.
Right.
And that's why it's special.
What a joy that is. I think
it really is.
People search for that.
Yes.
And I mean, you've worked really hard.
Yeah.
And you have that.
Yeah.
What about, you mentioned certainly giving back. I know it's a high priority of yours. I know you volunteer at mm-hmm. a few different nonprofits, Miller Keystone Blood Center, mm-hmm. Greater Easton Development Partners. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what that means to you.
So with Miller Keystone especially, I know how much we literally save lives. I mean, the mm-hmm. blood that is donated saves lives at our local hospitals. So to be part of that effort, and as you know, because you're on the board with me, I feel like I'm part of something bigger, something meaningful, something tangible. So I like to give my time and other resources to something that really is making a difference in the community. GEDP is the same thing. GEDP basically has helped to change the face of Easton, of downtown Easton. Bloom for Women has helped so many women survive abuse and trafficking and really turn their lives around. So if I could be part of that change, an agent for change, I'm like privileged, I feel, to do that.
Who in your life, Marta, has been a mentor to you, an inspiration, a role model?
It's probably not who you would think. It was my late mother sometimes I do get emotional. But she was not worldly. She had a very hard life, hard upbringing in Lebanon. She raised 7 children just in a bare bones kind of, you know, way. And when we came to the U.S., I mean, she and my father basically sacrificed and gave up everything they knew to bring us here. We came with nothing. And if I can have that kind of courage, the courage that my mom, especially, and my dad had, she's always been my inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's a great story. I mean, not a great story, a great lived experience.
Yes, yeah.
And you have a daughter.
Yes.
What are you seeing in that generation?
What I'm seeing with her especially is I'm seeing the effect of my mother helping to raise her with me, because her values are somewhat different than your average 26-year-old. I mean, she's more introspective. I feel like she cares more because my mother helped to raise her this first 10, 12 years of her life. You know, she's keenly aware of the what's going on around the globe. Mm-hmm. She's concerned about the future. She's concerned about all the prices for everything. And she's a teacher, and she's a wonderful kindergarten teacher in Philadelphia. And she is changing lives. Speaking of changing lives, she's changing lives every single day with the children that she's teaching. But, you know, she's concerned about the future. Like, there's so many global conflicts that she discusses with me. And and we talk about how we wish the world was a little bit more calm, a little bit more peaceful. So she's very aware.
Is she tied, as you are, to your Lebanese heritage?
Oh, yes, very much so. Again, because of my mother's influence. So she, of course, the food, the music, the language, my mother helped to teach her Arabic, you know, because she was with her. So she's very proud of her Lebanese heritage, and she's also proud of her American heritage. She embraces mm-hmm. both fully and passionately. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's...
That's wonderful. So you're seeing in Camille a mm-hmm. sense of giving back and
yes.
hope and optimism. What do you see for this community? Are you hopeful that we are moving forward with those same strong values?
Yes, I do. I think that there are a lot of individuals that are really hyper-focused on how could we make the Lehigh Valley a better place. Again, whether it's through donations, whether it's through getting your employees out there and giving back to the community. I feel like there are a lot of different players that are hyper-focused on the Lehigh Valley's future, whether it's LVEDC, whether it's the Chamber, what's the Planning Commission, you name it. I think we're a united way. We're all kind of, we're working collectively. We have a shared vision for a better Lehigh Valley, and I feel really happy about that. I'm hopeful about that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons the Lehigh Valley is one of the fastest growing regions in the state. I mean, that doesn't happen by accident.
Right.
So I think we have a lot of assets here in the Valley that a lot of communities in the state would envy, or in the country rather, not just mm-hmm. the state. We are very fortunate. We live in a very special place.
Is there a story or an experience that you've had that makes you especially grateful for being right here, right now, doing what you're doing?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's cumulative. That what I'm doing right now is cumulative. I don't know if that's like the best word to use, but it's all the experiences I've had so far in my life, and I have a lot more life to live. So it's all of those coming together for the betterment of Crayola, my Lehigh Valley, my community, my Lebanese church in Easton. Like, it's all those things converging. Mm-hmm. So it's not one thing. I feel like the one word I always use and I always tell Camille is grateful. You must be grateful for what you have, because there's always people who are going to have more than you, and there are people going to have less than you. Mm-hmm. You have to be happy and grateful with what you have. And I'm grateful.
That's perfectly said. What advice do you have for people who aren't yet engaged in community and are maybe thinking of getting involved?
I say do it as soon as you can, because it really changes your worldview. You have skills that you may not even know you have. And when you help that organization to grow and to change, the feeling of satisfaction is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage anybody who, even if you don't think you have anything to offer, explore that opportunity, though. You don't know that until you start talking to people. And your worldview will change, because I come back to gratitude. More often than not, you're going to find that you will be grateful for where you are in life and what you have and what you have to offer.
Fantastic. Yeah. Marta, we started talking about Crayola and then certainly talked about you as a volunteer and as a leader. Mm-hmm. Are there things that you've learned at work that you take out to volunteer, or are there things that you've learned through your church, through your community, that you take to work that makes you a better executive?
Yeah, I think it's the idea of collaboration. None of us does things by ourselves. I mean, whether at work, whether it's my team and me, or at church, whether it's the one family that runs this event or the other family, it's when we collaborate, we do so much better. So that's one idea that's always in the back of my mind, is how can we work together? Mm-hmm. One example of that just recently is we were talking about a backpack collection in Easton for Easton school kids. And we sat down with Project of Easton, and I said, are there other organizations that do backpack collections for Easton schools? And we realized that there's like five that do it. So I said, maybe all five can come together at the table, and so maybe we can have a greater effect on this collection. And that's what we ended up doing. So I'm always thinking, how could we collaborate, not compete, but collaborate? Mm-hmm. So that's always in the back of my mind.
Perfect. For a stronger and healthier community.
Yeah, for a better community.
Well, Marta, thanks so much. Was there anything that we didn't talk about? Anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah. I come back to gratitude. I just want our listeners to remember that things could always be better, but they could always be worse. So look inside yourself a little bit and say, what do I have to be grateful for just today, even? Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow, but just today. That's what I would ask people is things could always be worse, but they're always better.
Perfect. So, perfect inspiration to leave us with tonight. So, again, listeners, we were joined by Marta Bullis-Gibran, who is the Director of Government Relations and
Long title. And
Community Affairs at one of our strongest corporate partners, Crayola. Marta, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second half of A Closer Look. We just had a wonderful conversation with Marta Bullis-Gibran from Crayola. And now here in the fabulous DIY studio is my friend Chip Hurd. Welcome, Chip.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here again.
Absolutely. You know, you were here a few months ago, which was great. You were here in April of this year. And at that time, Chip, we talked a lot about your role as the Chief Philanthropy Officer for United Way. And I wanted to revisit that a little bit, but also talk just about United Way in general, because I think I have learned a lot has happened with some recognition for the incredible work that our United Way of the Lehigh Valley has done for the past 10 years. And it's really getting national attention. Let's jump right in with that. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We are blessed to be one of the top performing United Ways in the U.S. I believe we are the only one that has had 15 straight years of up campaigns, so increased campaigns. And over the last 10 years, we're probably the highest performing in terms of percentage growth, not necessarily dollar size because we're not in Atlanta or Chicago, but percentage growth. Of our size, there's no one close who has done what we've done. And we've been able to kind of parlay that into some trainings. So next spring, next June, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we will be hosting the first ever Northeast Regional Conference, which goes from Maine down to Virginia.
So everybody, the leaders of all those United Ways will be coming
Correct.
To the Valley?
Correct. So we're hoping for somewhere between 600 and 1,000 people to be here.
Oh my gosh, fantastic. And I know United Way Worldwide, you've received some attention, some accolades, some involvement. Could you talk a little bit about that?
We are honored to have the United Way Worldwide CEO, Angela Williams, here back in April. And she has been terrific. She's around the world speaking and selected our United Way as the one to come and visit. And then we presented a couple sessions at the Worldwide Conference in June down in Florida. So we're on the map, but we're getting more on the map.
Right.
And their chief philanthropy officer has called me several times and asked if other United Ways could call or come visit. So we are having people here regularly to learn what's the secret sauce. And I'm not sure there is a secret sauce that can be trained or learned. You've been here a long time like me. It's the community. It's the corporate partners we have with Air Products and PPL and Crayola and others, and just our philanthropists. And, you know, our C-suite executives from those companies are friendly, but yet competitive. I mean, I know you want to beat PPL, and Vince and team want to beat you every year. Mm-hmm. And that friendly competition has, I think, enabled our community to just continue to thrive year over year.
Oh my gosh, so well said. And I think people hear United Way and think, oh yes, it's going well. But going well, it is meeting so many key needs in community. Could you talk about that?
The needs are endless. We get requests for millions and millions of dollars every year that we can't even fund. I mean, we raise our total revenue last year was about $33 million. We just don't have enough money for the needs. Right. And we just don't want to put Band-Aids on things.
Right.
You know, some communities that raise less than $1 million, you know, a $10,000 grant is a big grant to them. Does that really help fix the problem or stop the problem? You need hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars for an organization to kind of change what's going on. We've been really fortunate. We have a brand new CEO. So Marcy Lesko has been with us now about 15 months in the seat, but she's been here 20 years. Mm-hmm. So that transition from David Lewis to her has just been brilliant and has been seamless. And in her first year, I could not have asked for anything more out of my CEO.
Wow. What a great compliment. That's awesome. And you've been in this role 10 years?
10 years next week.
And by the way, speaking of anniversaries, today is my 20-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Air Products,
congratulations.
Yes, August 22nd, which is the day we're recording this visit. So 10 years, what have you seen? What are the three biggest things you've seen change in your tenure at United Way?
We have more than doubled our staff. Fabulous. So when I came, we had less than 30 full-time employees. We're near 70 full-time employees now. And if you add some part-timers, some AmeriCorps Vistas, we're probably over 100 volunteers. My staff has grown from about 6 or 7 to about 13. And we've changed the focus. We realized 5 or 6 years ago that there was much more personal wealth in the community. So we can tell you how many households have $500,000 or more of annual household income. So we have turned from having more people doing the workplace campaigns from our team to having more front-facing gift officers. And that has changed completely over the last 5 or 6 years. And we have grown. 10 years ago, our Tocqueville Society, which is our donors of $10,000 or more annually, and thank you for your continued support, has gone from about 140 families to over 400 families last year. And we know that the future holds really bright things for us. We could have 500, 600, 700. But with that, we're gaining 60 or 70 a year, but we retain about 90%, which is great. But on 400, that means I'm losing 40 every year. For those who retire and don't have the disposable income or move out of the community, or sadly, we have some die from time to time, which we don't like, but it happens. So we need to get 60 or 70 just to net 20 or 30 new every year. So as the base gets bigger, it's harder to grow that number incrementally.
How does Chip, with the funds that are raised to meet the needs, how is United Way sure that the money donated is going to truly meet the needs?
We have an incredible community impact team, or an impact team headed up by Erin Connolly.
Who is a treasure.
Oh, she absolutely is.
She's great.
And between that and our local partners and our community school work, and actually this is our 20th anniversary year of community schools,
which
Jill
Pereira
and Marcy Lesko kind of brought to the forefront 17, 18 years ago. And we are going after some large national grants to help our community school work. But we assess the community needs every year. Right now, there are a couple of nonprofits having large capital campaigns, Valley Youth House and New Bethany. And there's just so many things going on, but we need to really identify what are the biggest problems. So right now, as you saw in the paper, there's some things happening at Second Harvest. They're not able to get food. The encampment issue down on the Jordan Creek, they have asked us to come in and help. So we're working with the mayor and the city and the county on how do we get those people down at the Jordan Creek out of the, what happened in Kerrville, Texas, we don't want to see happen here in Allentown. So we're working with the YMCA as well, so with Zane and his team. So we find those issues that are really pressing and we dive in wholeheartedly.
It's so much more than raising money, connecting with nonprofits. It's really in kind of the battle, if you will.
It is a battle. And, you know, I don't mind raising the money.
Right.
I don't want to be the one deciding where the money goes. So everyone on our team is a fundraiser. Every employee is a fundraiser because the good work that our impact team is doing makes my job easier and hopefully able to raise more money, which allows them to put more money into community, into impact. I've never wanted to be the one to decide. You're down to the last $50,000 and you can't split it. So is the $50,000 going to the homeless shelter for veteran or the homeless shelter for women and children? It pulls too hard on my heartstrings. I'll raise all the money and my team will. I don't want to get into that. It would be too hard for me.
And a lot of those decisions, am I correct, are made by the data and the research and the experts on your team.
Correct. So Marcy Lesko has this thing she says, without the data, the chatter don't matter. And it makes me laugh because, you know, it's just talk. And, you know, I never want my team to say, I feel we should do this. We always have to say the data shows us we should be able to do this. And I was with someone a week or so ago and they said, I'd be okay with saying, I feel that the data tells me this. So that way you still get the feelings, but you're really looking at the data. Because data doesn't lie.
Right.
You know, you can't manipulate the data to lie or tell you false things that you want to happen. It shows the true areas you need to invest your money in.
Chip, you come at this from such a cool vantage point, doing what you do, being a community leader, a United Way executive. Are you hopeful for the Lehigh Valley?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, I've been blessed, Lori. I've lived here my whole life. I went to high school here. I went to college here. My first job out of college was Air Products for 9 years. But I've also worked in higher ed and healthcare, so I can see the whole landscape of, you know, the Lehighs and Lafayettes and Muhlenbergs. And I mean, we are blessed to have two incredible health systems. You know, they sometimes compete against each other. But as a community, can't we say we are just incredibly blessed to have two fabulous health networks at our disposal? So I am very, very hopeful and optimistic for our future. We have great, as I said before, great corporate partners in the community. And when one nonprofit thrives, we all thrive. And when one fails, we all fail. And we're kind of all in it together. We're the biggest nonprofit in the Valley. But together we win and together we fail.
Do you see a lot of the day-to-day collaboration by nonprofits?
I do. I don't think there's a week that goes by that we don't have someone from our top 50 or 100 nonprofits in meeting with me or Marcy or Aaron or Jill and the team and vice versa. I mean, Marcy's on the phone constantly with other nonprofits. What are you doing? How can we help? Again, with the encampment issue and Second Harvest, you know, now the Community Foundation, Eric and her team are involved with us. So years ago, there was a little rub between the Community Foundation and United Way and kind of looked at each other as competition. Mm-hmm. And then Bernie Story came and David Lewis came and the friendliness came and they sit on our board at United Way. So we look at each other as partners, not competition. I think that's the way we should mm-hmm. look, all of us together.
Absolutely. We talk about that so much here on this program about the importance of true and sincere and sustained collaboration.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chip, it's campaign time.
It is.
So we can't leave this conversation without talking a little bit about the current United Way campaign. Could you tell us about it? Who's leading it? What can we look forward to?
Our campaign year confuses every single donor. So donors think on a calendar year for tax purposes. Our campaign year actually starts April 1st and goes through March 31st. So in the summer, it's very quiet. A couple campaigns run. I want to give some props to our own United Way. We just concluded our campaign, raised more than $100,000 for the first time in our life, and had 100% participation
from all of us.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. It's you put your money where your work is and where your mouth is. And our team has just gone and stepped up time and time again. We're honored to have Mike and Diane Molesky chairing this year's campaign for us. We have a goal of $27 million. We raised a little more than $26 million under Chris Martin's leadership last year. The bulk of the campaigns will kick off after Labor Day, the PPLs and Air Products. And when those start, we have about 100 days of incredibly hard work until early December, mid-December. And by then, we've probably raised or have pledged 95% of the dollars for this year's campaign. So then January, February, March is kind of the cleanup for those who are a little late to the game, mm-hmm. or we have a couple of our top accounts that run in February like normal. But it's the fun time because once you're in it, you literally don't have time to think. It's go, go, go. And you're going to different workplaces and making hundreds of presentations in 90 days or 100 days. And it's just, I get excited for this time of year. I really do.
So Mike and Diane Molesky are chairs this year. What's the magic that they're bringing to the campaign?
Mike has probably been one of the most enthusiastic campaign chairs so far. He has brought 40 or 50 new prospects who have never been connected to United Way to the table this year. And Mike and Diane have a fabulous wine collection, and they're trying to figure out how they can use that to incentivize or tell people thank you more than anything for having a great year. So when people step up and do a little more, I think Mike and Diane are going to present them with some nice wine or champagne or something. But it's not an incentive. It's more of a thank you from mm-hmm. them for just helping make our community better and better each year.
Well, I know I'm professionally really excited about the campaign this year, about the chance to work with Mike and Diane. I agree. Their spirit, their energy is phenomenal. Really?
We've been really, really fortunate. And to you, kudos to you, Lori, for what you do at Air Products. Not everyone does this every single year with their campaign. And to see what you have done with the company, and now you have a new CEO, so I'll be interested to see how he wants to make this year go. But from where you were 5 or 6, 8 years ago to mm-hmm. now is just remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And it's your commitment that really helps drive
right.
that.
And that's, I think that's what we see across the valley. Chip, we're at the end of our time together, unfortunately.
Already?
I know. How can they get involved, either volunteering with United Way or involved with a campaign? How would they do that?
The easiest way is probably to go to our website, www.unitedwayglv, Greater Lehigh Valley.org. There's ways on there to volunteer and get involved, or they can reach out to any one of us. But the more volunteers, the better we can spread the word throughout community. We have about 12,000 donors. We have about 300,000 working people in the community. So as you can see, the opportunity is endless. And if any companies want to get involved, please feel free to reach out.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, listeners. We were joined tonight by Chip Hurd, who's the Chief Philanthropy Officer for United Way. Thanks, Chip.
My pleasure, Lori. Thanks again.
Again, thanks for joining us for another episode of A Closer Look. And we look forward to seeing you next month on WDIY.